Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Leslie.
I'm Tessie.
And we are sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we found ourselves talking often, sometimes about children, but largely about what it's like to move through this life as women and sisters and friends and mothers. And we had a feeling that there was a tribe of women who feel the same way and who are talking about the same things. And we wanted to bring those women to you. So on Mondays, we interview some of these amazing women. They're artists, entrepreneurs, creative visionaries. They're social change agents and activists. And they're just like you. They're women who have energy to spend and love to give and who have tapped in to that very special and very powerful mama bear that lives within all of us. And they've used her to live joyful and full and really multifaceted lives. Mm-hmm. On today's episode, we give you one of these conversations, a conversation that we had with Adina Rosenberg Natanson. We were able to record this conversation while we were in Chicago, so it was a face-to-face interview, and I have to say, before we get into it, that being in the same room as Adina, I sensed her energy and her calm immediately, and I really feel, Tessie, that that set the tone for our time together.
It really did. The crazy part was, like, Adina is this strong woman, right? She went from being a well-known and popular group fitness instructor to a woman who started a business because she saw a need in the prenatal and postnatal communities for health and wellness that just wasn't being filled by more traditional gyms. She's brave, but she's also warm and kind. And you're right, like, her energy just, I mean, I bet our listeners will just be like, oh, I just feel so good.
Yeah. It's so true. And, you know, maybe part of it was the actual chemicals that were flowing through the room because she was nursing her baby during the interview.
She was.
That was so great. But Adina did. She opened her own gym called Prenatal Fit in the heart of Lincoln Park, Chicago. And she did so after being pregnant herself and noticing that the women who took her classes while they were pregnant were some of the most loyal members that ever were.
Right.
She knew that there was an opportunity to create a community of women who could kind of rely on each other and inspire one another. And she did it.
She really did. She created this incredible community, and she continues to cultivate it with the women at Prenatal Fit. Mm-hmm. There's so much to say about Adina, but I think she just does a remarkable job of speaking for herself all on her own, don't you think?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into it.
Adina Rosenberg Natanson is a wife, a mama to three, and the founder of Prenatal Fit, a gym designed for women before, during, and after pregnancy. Adina, much like this podcast aims to do, has built a community of women who empower, inspire, and support one another. We can't wait to hear more about how she built this community, but first, let's officially welcome Adina onto the Mama Bear Dares podcast. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Adina, have you always loved being physical and moving your body? Or when did this passion for kind of health and wellness first come about?
Well, actually, it started when I went to the health club with my parents. And I had always snuck into the aerobics room where there was, you know, this was the 80s, where everybody was wearing the leotards and the flashing lights. And it was very exciting to me. I think I was like probably 10 years old. And there was one time where the teacher had all of us come into the middle and everybody took a turn to teach the class. And I remember I was like, I didn't think they were going to ask me because I was like the young one in the class. And they're like, come on, you try it. And I absolutely loved it. I was like, I want to do this. But I didn't think that was going to be my career goal. But it made me feel really good. And I was just like, this sounds like fun. And I pursued it. I went to the YMCA next. And at that time, I don't think they really cared if I was certified or not. So I just started teaching at the YMCA. And then I found out you actually had to get certified. So I went through certification, and I worked at Bally's, and then I worked at the most famous health club here in Chicago, the East Bank Club.
And when you say certification, certified in...
Well, at first it was aerobics,
okay.
the plain aerobics certification. But then as I went through the time, you know, at that time, step was very popular.
Oh, yeah.
So I was doing step, and then all of a sudden kickbox became popular, and I got kickbox certified. And then yoga became very popular, Pilates. So with every popularity exercise format, mm-hmm. I got certified in that. And then when I decided that I wanted to be pregnant after I got married, then I was like, oh, I got prenatal certified. So I went through that order.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Interesting. Shout out to the aerobics instructor who invited a 10-year-old to teach the class.
Awesome.
Like,
yes.
These kids, they're watching us.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, you know, I love the thought of this woman doing that, empowering you, and... It makes me think, like, gosh, I need to remember that in my own life, you know?
Yeah. So about what age was, I mean, that was, you said about 10 that they did that, but at what point did you, as a young adult, say, this is going to be what I do, this is going to be my career?
Well, when I was in college, I actually got a degree in television production and photography minor. And I went at break time, what everyone did was smoke and just sit there. And I was always the one that wanted to take a walk around the block. And mm-hmm. I was like, are these the people I have to work with? My colleagues? I mean, they were all overweight. They were smoking. I was like, oh, I can't do this. You know, I love being creative. I still am creative with my gym. I'm always taking pictures. And they're always like, why are you always taking pictures? I'm like, this is my minor.
Yeah.
In college. Yeah. I'm always taking, like, video or doing... but it was something I didn't feel right. It didn't click mm-hmm. with me. I was like, I can't sit, you know, when you edit, you're there all day long editing.
Yeah.
And it just didn't fit right for my lifestyle. So when I started teaching at the East Bank Club, I guess that was where they gave me a management job. And I was doing some type of photography work, but it just didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, like, so good about helping people. And I felt, you know, I was going home thinking, I have a purpose here. I'm helping yeah. someone else get healthier.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what made the click over.
Yeah. So whether you're a mom through birth or through adoption, the season of waiting for a child can be really hard on our bodies. So there's the stress, the anxiety, the excitement even. It all kind of weighs in on you. And sometimes... all you want to do is become really sedentary and maybe eat tombstone pizza. Just saying, Tessie. Maybe that
yep,
was just
that me. Was me. That was me.
But did you find that to be true of your first pregnancy, or did you have an opposite reaction?
I know. I was one of those people that if I don't work out, I feel sick. Mm. Like, I think I have an addiction. I mean, it's addiction to working out. But I'm like... if I don't work out, then I'm not myself.
Mm.
And I didn't have this problem, but I know there's women that do have this problem. So I always tell them the 20-minute rule. If you feel sick, you're feeling tired, give yourself 20 minutes. And after 20 minutes, if you still feel the same, honor what your body's saying.
Mm-hmm.
If not, usually in 20 minutes, you're feeling amazing, you feel good, and you actually feel stronger and healthier. Because
mm-hmm.
it does drain you, you know, making this baby and all these different changes in your body mm-hmm. and your life, and you're really not as motivated. But I just do the 20-minute rule and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell everybody. For me, it's like I'm getting paid to do it. I got to go up and do
yeah.
it. This is my job. This is how I make money. So when those days happened, I was like, got to go. You know,
right.
because this is my job. I mean, it's easy for me because I get paid to do it.
Right. Yeah. But then you find that in your experience after those 20 minutes.
Yeah, like 20 minutes, you feel really good.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you actually feel better, you know, about, like, oh, let's go do this in your life. You actually feel more energy to do those things that you think that you don't even have energy for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I get home, sometimes I'm exhausted. Even with my right now, I just, like, if I get up and going, I feel so much better. And, you know, honor myself if I still feel tired.
Yeah. Because you have a 10-month-old now.
I do have a 10-month-old now and two older kids, mm-hmm. 11 and 8.
Okay.
So they're also fighting a lot, you know.
The whole dynamic. There's
a lot going on in my house.
Yeah. I loved when we were reading about you for this conversation, how you had said it occurred to you at some point in your first pregnancy that you were only going to get so much from your medical doctor. You know, you would get the 3 minutes they give you to
right.
measure your stomach and ask if you have questions, and then they're out, right?
Right.
But you felt like, I need way more support than this.
Mm-hmm.
So you
yes.
intentionally built a tribe to give you that support. I found that so inspirational. Just tell us a little bit about that.
I actually didn't know it was happening without me even realizing it, mm-hmm. because I was looking for other pregnant women at my gym just to talk to someone else who was going through this time. So when I first started teaching prenatal exercise classes, there was very, very little. Mm-hmm. You know, there was not much of it. And I was like, okay, I would like to take a class. I know how to teach it, but there was no inspiration. There was no one here to teach me how to teach it. So I would learn these things. I went through the certification, but I had no idea why I was learning those things. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, I guess I'm just going to do these Kegels. I'm going to do these yoga squats, but I don't really know why. There wasn't a lot of information out there. And so I was looking for other pregnant women, and I was, like, pulling them off the bikes. I'm like, come on, take my class. And then I noticed that I needed that, like, to talk to someone. I go, hey, are you feeling this pain? Are you feeling this? And is this your one number child? Is this for you? You know, so I can see that it was happening on its own. I really didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, when I had my baby, I was like, I don't want to leave my baby at home. I want to bring my baby with me. So I asked my coordinator, is it okay if I can I start a Mommy Me program here? Mm-hmm. And she's like, sure, let's do it. It wasn't there yet. So I started Mommy Me Yoga. And then I was like, okay, let's try Mommy Me Boot Camp. Let's try my baby carrier class. It was all new things for me.
And like, when was this?
This was 11 years ago.
Wow.
11 years ago.
You were way ahead of that trend. Yes. That's amazing.
So I was only because, I mean, I wanted my baby to be with me. I was breastfeeding exclusively. So I needed to have the baby nearby. At the same time, I wanted to keep in shape. So I had to find a solution. So I actually saw that those things helped me, you know, because I wasn't getting that when I got to my appointments. Mm-hmm. And I saw it was helping my ladies. Mm-hmm. And one thing that really made me feel so good and still makes me feel good, because they always give me credit, there's this group of ladies that maybe like the next year, their kids are probably now 10, but they would never have been friends if they didn't come to my pregnant class. Mm-hmm. I had them work together. Like, I would say, what's your name? I know it's very crazy, like kindergarten. Like, what do you like to do? And, like, you know, how many weeks are you? So it's kind of like you're playing this, like, intro game and working out.
Yeah. Yes.
But now they're, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. Their kids are, like, good friends. I mean, it's like they've never lost that connection. And it started when they were pregnant. It's kind of like your college friends.
Yeah. Yes.
Your high school friends. Yep. So you're pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely. Pregnant friends. Yeah. Mom friends.
So that makes me feel good that I helped these women.
Yeah. And honestly, as a person, and I've said this before on the podcast, like, I enjoy going to the park and kind of going for a jog or something and being more solitary in my workout. I hear more and more people talking about they found their people at the gym. And I think sometimes that's sort of an afterthought, is that, you know, you go to the gym to work out. Mm-hmm. At least that's in my kind of naivete.
That's true.
But you can make great connections there and find your people there, which is hugely important.
Yeah. I think most gyms, I don't like to say bad thing about other gyms, but most gyms, you kind of have your horse binders on and you're working out, you're thinking about yourself, you're getting to your goals and working on you losing weight. So that way, what makes my gym a little bit different, and my instructors are all told to do this always before class starts. We always say our name, how many weeks we are, and you know, the sex of the baby. And then while we're in class, we have moments where we match people up, and then we say, okay, what are your cravings? So, you know, and I also, like, as a person, I notice, oh, this person is a veterinarian. She's a veterinarian too. Together, you know. Mm-hmm. This person speaks the same language as you. Mm-hmm. This person has the same religion as you. Mm-hmm. I try to find some interconnection, you know, between these ladies, just so that they're not alone. A lot of these women don't have any other friends that are pregnant.
Yeah.
Or a lot of women have been trying for so long, and now they're, you know, older, and they're trying to have a baby. Everyone has a different story at my gym. So I try to connect these ladies.
Yeah, so tell us more about your gym. When did you start it, and how is it more from like what you started or what you set out for it to be and how it is now?
Okay, well, when I first started, I was kind of nervous because I had a lot of people telling me it was not going to work. I had a lot of people telling me that I should go to the church basement. It was very, it's kind of like I had people from kind of like Shark Tank. I was giving my idea, and they were just giving me the thumbs
down.
Even
though you hadn't like signed up to be on Shark Tank.
Right. Like, I wasn't on Shark Tank. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Thanks. Not for your opinion. Yeah.
So a lot of people were just telling me, why are you focusing on the pregnant ladies? Why are you focusing on this? You should And from my experience, and I don't think a lot of people have experience working with pregnant women, I saw that the most loyal women to me were the women that were with me when they were pregnant. I had people come in the Mommy Me classes afterwards, but the women that were through the pregnancy, they came to every Mommy and Me. They were never late. They were on time. They were together. Mm-hmm. And that trust was built. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, people are coming in. They're like, who is this lady? She's telling me to dance with the baby Bjorn. These others are like, oh, she was there for me. She gave me advice. She helped me exercise. She got me through those hard times. So I knew that I needed to start with the pregnant ladies. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing. I was really scared to go and invest into this project. I had asked the club I was working at if I could expand the prenatal program. I was told no. And that's, I was like, you know what? This is too good. I really need to help. This is my niche. Mm-hmm. This is what I really want to do to help people. So it was a big thing for me because I was working for 15 years for the East Bank Club. I don't know if I'm allowed to say in another club. Oh, so yeah. I'm going to take it out. Yeah. Okay. So I was working there for 15 years, like most of my life, for me to like step out and try this, this new venture. It was very scary. So my first thing was I was thinking how I'm going to get people to come and, you know, I didn't want to pull people from the other gym.
Right.
But how can I get people to trust me? Who is this Adina girl? I mean, I was pretty famous at the East Bank Club.
Right.
But outside of East Bank, you know, and I was surprised at all the people who were so supportive. I mean, a lot of women that had gone through their pregnancies told their friends, hey, check out Adina. Yeah. And I just felt like our product was so strong. And our first year, we didn't, usually the first year you have to pay a lot.
Yeah.
We met, you know, we met even. So we didn't have, we actually didn't lose any money in the first year. And every year we've been doing better every single month. So I think the word's getting out, and that's how it is with moms.
Yeah.
You know, you guys know that. Moms tell other moms, this is great, you should come here. And people are seeing the results too.
Yeah.
We're helping women through their pregnancy. We're helping women get back into shape. People are finding friends. And I think that's what makes people come back, right?
Those the results.
So how long ago was that?
It's in 3 years now. In three years, yeah.
I hate it that interviewers always ask this question to women and not men, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What was that like 3 years ago, starting a business with two young children at home? Mm-hmm. How did you juggle all of that? Because I'm sure that was that's a big deal, you know, opening a business. It's a lot of work.
I have to give a lot of credit to my husband because he really, he helped me. He believed in my mission. He believed in my dream. And he backed me up. He helped me get the money. We tried to get to the bank. Bank would not give us any loan. We tried, what else did we try before? There was like these like community, like helping you with your new business, Chicago, and none of those people really helped. So what really came down to was family. If it wasn't for my family invested in me.
Yeah.
So my Bobby grandmother gave me a lot of money, and my husband's parents gave a lot of money, and my parents gave a lot of money. But my husband is my like accountant, and he helps me with payroll. So he's like behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And if he didn't believe in me, I don't think I could have done it because there was a lot of skeptical people. A lot of people. I had one lady talk to me. She said my job is a dream killer. That's what she actually told me. She was giving me all these reasons why I shouldn't do it. And I was like, I'm going to try it anyhow. My husband asked me the one question, even you know if you're going to fail, would you still want to try? I just want to try. Mm-hmm. And if we fail, I was still, you know, move on with my life.
Yeah.
At least let me try.
Where does that come from?
That's what I wonder.
I don't know. It's just, she said she gets paid to tell the truth.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, if my husband asked that, I'd be like, I guess I was, no. I don't know. You know, I mean, there's such boldness there.
Yes.
Like, where does that boldness come from?
Just from seeing the model that it worked.
Uh-huh.
I believed from what I saw, and there was a small scale. I only saw these women twice a week. And in that twice a week, they were doing so well with their pregnancy. And I just remember, I think one thing that really motivated me, I forgot the story, it upsets me, but it's in the back of my head a lot. There was a lady, you know, we all knew other, I didn't, she wasn't in my class, but she knew one of the ladies in my class, one of my students. And she had extreme postpartum depression. She didn't have any support during her pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And she harmed her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband, and in the article it said her husband was at a tennis lesson and came home. wasn't there like red flags? Like, why was he at a tennis lesson? Why would he leave this woman alone with this baby? So in the back of my head, I was like, I'm not going to let these women not be supported. Mm. You know, these women need this. This is so, I mean, as much as women don't want to talk about it, there's always a little bit of depression. Yeah. Your life has changed. You're basically a whole different woman. Your job has changed. Your body's changed. Your relationships are changed. And that's a lot. And people don't want to talk about it, but it's there. And having this in, you know, we talked about the in play group. Mm-hmm. You already have this instant friend, the friend that you bonded with through your pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You made this friend, and now they're there for you with their baby. They're going through the same hard time as you. It makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I don't want to hear that again. I don't want to hear this story about this woman being by herself and harming her baby. Yeah. That makes me feel like there should be more support for us. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think that everybody's yelling at the mom and stuff, but what's going on with her? Who's taking care of her?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that story, it actually makes me cry a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think when you build that tribe, you know, you were saying, where were the red flags? Her friends would have noticed that. Her friends would have been the one to tell the husband, don't leave. If you leave, call me. If you leave, call her. If I'm not answering. That's what one of the roles that plays. And you're right, like having that support, because women are also going through that, they know what kind of quote unquote normal post baby blues is and what's not normal. You know, they would have known the difference between, oh, this woman's just sad and her hormones and all the stuff we all go through, and no, this woman is at real risk of hurting herself or her baby. Yeah. You know? So I hear you, and which I think is even more extraordinary that you were like, no, if I can save one woman from that, then this is going to be worth it.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and I think you play such a crucial role, and one that I've not really thought about before, but there's just the lack of mental health care in this country. You know, you are stepping into that, and really, whether you realize it or not, you are providing this care, this health care, like, not just to lose baby weight, not just to stay fit during pregnancy, but like this mental health care as well, that there's a big hole in our society that you're helping to fill in like a really beautiful and kind of creative and loving way.
Yeah, I mean, there's studies on women who are together. You know, like, I mean, the breastfeeding, they say that if they see other women breastfeeding, they continue breastfeeding longer. I mean, they do habits they would have maybe not done longer if they weren't in a group. They're like, oh. Mm-hmm. And so they help each other. They could be, you know, breastfeeding is really hard. It's a really hard thing. And you can just give up really quickly. But if you have other women saying, you know, you can do it. Let me show you. Let me help you with this. You know, maybe the latch is not correct and you notice maybe your friend's latch is not right. So these things happen a lot at my gym. I see them, they go around and help each other.
Yes. Incredible.
They help each other with clipping things on or picking up the diaper bag. And just those little things that someone shows that they care does a lot for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk specifically about just the classes that you offer.
So my classes at Prenatal Fit, we offer prenatal and post, but everything is prenatal safe. The post classes, there's mommy and me classes. They could come if they want, pregnant women, but it's supposed to be women with babies. Uh-huh. So we have everything from yoga to Pilates, baby Bajorn, aerobics. We have baby Bajorn aerobics, different styles. We have Zumba style baby Bajorn aerobics.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the carrier, by the way.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then we have Bollywood groove, which is Bollywood dancing with the baby carrier. And then we have Nia, which is a new, like, modern dance type of thing.
Well, I was going to ask, because you were so ahead of the trend, obviously, and when you were talking earlier about just, well, then I got certified in this, and then this was coming, so I had to get certified in this. Like, what are some new trends that you're seeing? I mean, the Bollywood dancing sounds new. Well, they don't have that in Iowa, I don't think, yet.
The lady who teaches is pregnant, too. Everybody who's at my gym, if they want to work at my gym, I'm always like, are you trying to get pregnant? And they're like, yes. Or are you pregnant? Yes. So we're the opposite than normal businesses. Businesses are like telling a pregnant woman to go away. We like, just bring them on. Bring them pregnant. Everybody's pregnant at the gym. So, let's see. Yoga is always very popular, no matter what, because I think these doctors can't prescribe medicine to people who are pregnant, because you can't have medicine when you're pregnant. So they always say, whenever they come, prenatal yoga. Go to prenatal yoga. That's going to help that pain. Prenatal yoga is going to help that pain. So that's the number one thing that's prescribed by these doctors. Mm-hmm. So thank you, doctors, for prescribing prenatal yoga.
Yeah.
But that's the number one class. But then people come to us for Pilates, which is great because you're working your core safely.
Mm-hmm.
And we have women coming in the class that need to strengthen after they have their baby to strengthen their pelvic floor, which is very important. That's another new trend. Because women now, like older women who didn't do anything for the pelvic floor, are, I hate to say this, losing their organs, kind of.
Yeah.
So what happens is that pelvic floor keeps everything up. So now everybody's, like, the key word is pelvic floor, Kegels, you know?
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of that in our Pilates classes. And, you know, we have the classic cardio weights class and, let's see, anything else? Zumba. But it's Zumba prenatal safe. We're not like crazy Zumba. Zumbine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we've got every variety. And we try to have it different times because, you know, some moms are working. So we have our 7 o'clock moms. And then we have the moms that can come in the afternoon or morning. So we have a variety of times.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, actually, about just this idea that you hire pregnant women or women like you actively seek out people who you know will not be working for you for a certain period of time, you know.
I don't try to. They find me.
I just think that's incredible. I mean, I actually am a group fitness instructor as well.
Oh, are you? Okay.
And you know, my bosses, my group fitness managers in the past have been like, oh, now she's pregnant. And not in a drop, but just like, I'm going to have to figure out what to do for 6 to 8 weeks, you know, until they're cleared to come back.
Right.
But you're like, yeah, come on, boy.
Well, the thing is, the pregnant woman also has a different perspective, you know, and the pregnant woman see the teacher is pregnant, they're more trustworthy.
Yeah.
Then they go, oh, she's pregnant. She knows how it feels. And it does help teach the class better because then you're like, oh, this feels really good.
Yeah.
And now that I'm not pregnant anymore, I kind of try to remember which ones felt really good, you know, the hip openers and what I need to strengthen, what helped me. Oh, I'm going to say it now before I forget.
Yeah.
So you had mentioned in one of the questions was like, there's a lot of pressure on women to work out and be in shape.
Yeah.
Okay. And I want to make sure everyone knows that at our gym, it's not about losing the weight, looking good in your jeans. It's more about being healthy during your pregnancy because you're carrying a baby for 9 months. You need to be strong enough to carry that baby.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Your legs are, you know, complaining, getting cramps. You're getting swollen. You got to keep the blood moving.
Mm-hmm.
You got to carry the body around. So you got to have some strong stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we train a lot for the big push day. We call it the big push day.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have that strength in the legs and flexibility.
Yeah.
And I really, really believe in this. This is why it takes so long for women to push a baby out. It's because the first time they ever done a yoga squat was when they pushed the baby out. They never done a yoga squat the whole 9 months.
Yeah.
And I say, you guys are training for a marathon here, training for the day, big push day. You got to know what moves you're going to do to get this baby out. And I always demo the way that they usually have you at the hospital, laying on your back in a yoga squat, which is really against gravity because gravity is this
way.
So we're asking a lot,
and
then a lot of these women are push drugs on them, and you're like, okay, now you can't feel anything from the waist down.
Right.
Lay on your back, get a baby out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, to me, I try to really teach them to stay away from the drugs, but I don't want to make anyone feel bad who's listening about using drugs, but.
While you're pregnant, during birth.
During birth.
Maybe like...
During the labor. Don't take the drugs during the pregnancy, but I'm talking about during labor.
But so much of what you're saying... Well, first, I can attest to the fact that my first pregnancy, I, as we established, sat on my butt and ate tombstone pizzas. Did nothing. I pushed for over 3 hours.
That's a lot of
It was
pushing.
Excessive. Oh.
Yes.
The second one, I was very... I ate slightly better. Very slightly better, but I exercised. I moved more. I did all of that. Pushed twice, 3 times, something like that. You know, totally different.
Yeah,
you were there. Yeah, that's why I looked at you. But there's such difference. But what you're really saying, I think one of the things that, you know, when you're like, if you're equipping people with, this is what it's going to be like.
you know this position? You're going to recreate this yeah. on Big Push Day.
Yes.
And so when you feel empowered and confident, they're probably less likely to take some of the medicines because they're like, oh, I've been here. I've yes. done this. Mm-hmm. Adina told me this was coming, you know?
Yeah. We have doctors and nurses saying, where have you been trained? They wow. are not used to, we are a whole new breed.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, once they say they're from prenatal fit, they're like, oh,
wow.
now I know.
Yeah.
Because we are training these women. They have no education about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They're not told what's going to happen when they are done with an epidural. They don't know they're going to get a catheter. Mm-hmm. They don't know that if they don't get, the baby's heart rate may drop, they may get sick. All these other things that they're not told about. They're pushed to get these drugs, but they're not told what's going to happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. I want them to know everything. And if they still think they want to get drugs yeah. after these things, then that's
right.
But as long as they know.
Right.
To me, it upsets me. I think I get the most upset when I have women come back to me and say, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that if I got drugs, this could happen. Calipers, I mean, vacuum to get the baby yeah. out. It's not ideal. I mean, things are done, I understand, for emergency reasons, but if these are healthy, strong women taking mm-hmm. care of themselves, why do they push to do these drugs?
Mm-hmm.
They can do this. They mm-hmm. have the strength. I understand a woman who's sitting behind a computer for 9 months and then asked to push a bowling ball out. That makes sense.
Yeah.
They need this extra stuff. But if you've been working out and taking care of yourself, there's no need. So,
well, and I feel like you're in a unique just geographical position to speak on this because is your gym in Lincoln Park?
It is.
In Chicago.
Yes.
And I remember reading somewhere, and this was a couple, probably more than a couple of years ago now, but Prentice Hospital, doesn't it have like one of the highest rates of epidural use
yes.
in like anywhere?
Yes.
Like 97%
yeah,
like
or something? It's in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad. It makes me really sad because I know that, you know, it could be different because why in other countries
right.
is that number so low compared to America? Why do we have so many cesareans?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like we're totally different women.
Right.
There's something that's missing. Something mm-hmm. is not being there. I know I'm just one little gem, but I'm trying my best to do what I can to help these women. But I know I'm making a difference because we get these birth stories and women are pushing babies out in 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I mean, there's such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't believe it, but I really... These women will tell you
yeah.
they can't believe that they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's because they are given the education, they're given the exercises, they're given alternatives to the drugs. If you're feeling an intensity, of course you're going to run to the drugs if you don't have anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do something else to deal with it. I teach them how to use the ball. I teach them how to do yoga. I have a little bit of Tai Chi, breathing, meditation, partners. We do everything so that they don't run to the drugs. I call it the tools in your tool chest.
Yeah.
Have the tools ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, I make a joke out of it. I make it fun for them. You know, we do a whole thing where we partner up and do yoga squats together. Or we partner up and pretend like one person's birthing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person is the significant other going, you can do this. You can do this. And they think it's hysterical. It's fun. But at the same time, I'm teaching them things.
Yeah.
I'm giving them alternatives to drugs.
Right. Yeah.
So it must be really sad when people kind of graduate out of
oh, yes.
your programs. Like, what is that like?
Well, that's why we have the Mommy Me program.
Right?
So
but
them.
Even that, like,
right.
are there beyond that? Can you still be
well,
a member
we have
of your
them,
gym?
Well, they have their second child. They always can come back.
Okay, that's true.
We do have, we try to have a toddler program. It didn't go so successfully. I try to have an event, like, we're having a mom-to-mom sale coming up, and, you know, we had our second-year-old birthday party, so I do bring them back.
Yeah.
But you're right. I do kind of go through these people, like, I kind of call them the freshmen, the
yeah.
senior high
sure.
graduates.
I'm sure.
At my gym, we have something called the bump wall. So when you get close to the big push day, you're on the wall there,
oh.
and then when you go from the push... after you give birth, you send a picture of you and the baby.
Aww.
You go to the baby wall. So everybody sees, oh, what happened to my
right.
friend who was in the class? There she is, and she's on the baby
yeah,
wall.
That's
then
so
we
cool.
have the baby stories all there. They print them up. People send them to me, and I just send them out so everybody can see what happened.
Again, it's back to that community
yes.
that you have created there.
it's the baby stories do help because then they're not just hearing from me. Mm-hmm. I'm not just saying, hey. So they read the story and they go, oh my goodness, she did use the yoga squat. She did use, I don't know if you put this on here, but there's a thing I always say, pee in your pants, because it's like really relax your pelvic floor. Uh-huh. And so they'll say, I really got it down when I started to remember, Adina, you said pee in your pants and then I started to progress. It was so great.
Yeah.
So the pee in your pants worked. And so everyone's like reading this and then going, oh, the pee in the pants worked. Right. I'm going to do that for my labor.
Yeah. You
know? So these give you advice to everybody, you know, so it helps women see, oh, this worked for her. Yeah. You know, this worked for me. And you don't get that when you go to the doctor's appointment. Yeah. You know, you're sitting there and you wait for your doctor. You go in, you come out. You don't talk to the person next to you. You don't know how their labor was or how their pregnancy is going. I mean, otherwise you don't, you know, you're by yourself.
Yeah. I know Tessie has read and loved the book, The Red Tent, that Anita Diamant, I think, is the author. But, you know, she really celebrates that of just women going through, becoming mothers together, going through the birthing process together, and then the postpartum care together. And that really is something that's it's lost in our society. And so you've kind of created this little microcosm of a red tent sort of in the middle of Lincoln Park. And that's a beautiful yeah. thing. I mean, how I'm just, these women here are so fortunate, I think, to have what you've created as a resource.
Yeah, I have people from all these different states contacting me, asking me if I have another location. And I always feel so sad when I have to say no to them. And I just say, Google prenatal yoga in your city and see what comes up. Because there really is hardly anything out there. But we have women traveling from so far away in the city of Illinois, coming like from Bartlett, which is very far. I mean, I don't know Bartlett, but and I feel so bad they're coming so far, and I wish they would have something for them there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, because I know that some other people do this, where they have a webcam, and that's one that's in the works to see if we can get
that's
a web.
That's such a great idea.
So you help women who don't have this.
You can do an on-demand monthly subscription or something.
Yeah, so.
Well, and I love hearing you talk about it, because I'm sure, you know, you're trying to make a living just like everyone else, but like you can just tell that your heart is why you're doing this.
Yeah.
Which is so beautiful. You know, you're telling these stories of these women who clearly, like, they're your clients, but you have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And that spills over into the way you're talking about the work you do, and that's a really wonderful thing to witness. That's awesome.
That's so nice. I was going to tell you, because you remind me of the red tent. In other countries, you know, when people give birth, they invite the whole village to watch it happen. So that it's not a new thing. Like a little girl will come in there and see her aunt give birth.
Yeah.
So it's something that she sees. It's a celebration. And a lot of these women, the first time they ever seen a baby is the first time they're getting birth.
Yeah.
Like, it shocks me, because I was a big babysitter. I mean, I babysat as soon as I could. I love kids, so but they never change a diaper. They don't know any. I do a lot of singing in my classes, like bonding singing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know any of the nursery rhymes, so they're like, this is all these things they want to know, and it's great. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to me to see that they never seen this before.
Yeah.
And you said in the red tent, this is that where women come together and help each other. And I don't think that opportunity is out there. You know, people go to their job, they come back home. There's no, like, community. And it's sad. It's missing, because it really is a beautiful thing, being pregnant and beautiful giving birth. And I want women to have that opportunity to really enjoy their labor. And I know it's really intense, but if they could know how empowering it could be. You know, I think there's so many interventions now that they are pushed upon them. It doesn't become a good experience. They come home kind of scarred.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad that they're scarred, you know, instead of being happy and empowered from giving birth. So I don't know. I just feel like I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
I'm doing my part to help them. And anyone else, I try to help them by doing my webcam. Hopefully I can get that up and going.
Yeah, great.
Well, and I think it's uniquely female, right? The reason I was talking to Leslie there was, like, I invited her and my sisters and mom in with my second pregnancy because I had read the book, and I love this idea of, like, celebrating what is uniquely feminine. In the red tent, it's talking about when women were on periods, they'd have a whole tent, and they'd just sit on bales of hay together and talk for 3 to 5 days.
Really? I didn't know that.
And the little ones would serve them, and like, this is amazing. You know, you create this culture around what is uniquely feminine, what even our best male partners can never conceptualize. They can't even come close, you know? But what you've created at Prenatal Fit, and then really, like Leslie was saying, just with your energy, is just this idea that, like, you can be nervous, you can be a little anxious about birth and about pregnancy, but you can also be empowered, you can be fully in control of the situation as much as possible, and I love that. And just to share both the crazy stuff that happens during labor, the things that, you know, your male partner might never understand, but your girlfriends will.
Definitely. I also feel like there's a part of a woman that when she is happy and empowered, it continues on to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
The baby feels her energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that to have good nostalgia when the baby comes out, to be exhausted and to be very upset and not, you lose that magic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that will come on to the baby, and the baby feels wanted and loved, and that continues as they get older, and they continue being good people, and it passes on and passes on. So we're making generations of happy children. The mommy starts with the mom.
Mm-hmm.
The mom is happy. She feels good. Let's move that on to our children. So it's really important to keep the mother happy. There's a lot of this pressure, like, don't you care about your baby? Don't you care about your baby coming out safe? You know, these videos I can't stand watching. I don't know if you've seen them where they pressure drugs or they pressure this one lady. There was a big deal about pressuring episiotomy, which thank God is gone most places. But she finally got the hospital to pay her back for her damages. But I mean, it kills me to know that they're robbing these women from these experiences they could have. Because I can't tell you how amazing I felt when I first had my baby. For all three of my babies, I couldn't sleep. I was so, the adrenaline rush from not using any drugs, just wanted to look at my baby. 9 months, I've been waiting for this baby to come out. I wanted to just look at him. I wanted to see how beautiful he was. I couldn't stand they would take him away from me. I mean, I know a lot of women are exhausted, I understand they take him to the nursery, but this is like, I finally got to meet my baby, and maybe if they didn't have these drugs, you know, maybe they were able to move around and do these yoga moves and stuff, they wouldn't be as tired, and they were able to enjoy that first moment to see their babies. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's there, but it just gets taken away.
Yeah, I feel a little bit like I loved being pregnant. You know, I'm not going to be pregnant again, but like my 25-year-old self wishes that I would have met you and walked through the journey with you. You don't know. And how do you not know what you don't know? You know, right. I mean, here thinking, like, how does one amplify this message? Because it's really one that we don't hear it. We really don't hear it. I mean, we don't even look for it. We don't know that we're missing it.
Right. There's a video that I always recommend. It helps me push, are you okay? Okay. My mission across to these women, because I have women that come in and have been told from the moment they're pregnant, get the drugs, get the drugs. And you keep hearing that you can't do something. You believe that you can't do it. Someone tells you that you can't do something, and you hear it over and over in your head. Because I can physically get them ready, but their brain's going to decide what they're going to do. I have to win them over in their brain, not just in their body.
Yeah.
So I feel like I send them to this video called The Business of Being Born.
Is that Ricky Lake?
Give it to Ricky
Lake. Oh, yeah. We'll link it in our show. Yeah.
So once they watch that,
yeah,
they're on the same wavelength of me.
Interesting.
Yeah, they watch that video, and it's a really hard truth. You hear, you know, from both sides, but you can see the difference. They tell you, like, once you get the drugs and they push this and then this, then this goes to this, it's just a bad domino effect after, you know. And then why cesareans are so high, they talk about that in other countries don't have that issue. The whole thing with midwives. And the first thing that people think about when they think midwife is a person in the barn you know.
She's like, oh, yeah.
Had no experience, dirty stuff. Yeah. But nowadays, midwives are actually the head nurse.
Yeah.
Right? So most women don't know that. Even the women that come into my gym, I'll say something about the midwives, and they're like, well, I'm not going to go give birth in the house or in the barn. And I'm like, no, they have midwives at Northwestern.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah, I hope that that is becoming a little bit less of a stereotyped kind of thing.
So.
And I should just, full disclosure for our listeners, I feel like this is the way, if I were to give birth now as a 38-year-old with a little more life experience, that I would be all about your prenatal classes and giving birth naturally, probably at home, you know, I'm not sure. But when I was 25, I gave birth to my first son at Prentice Women's Hospital. I told myself I wasn't going to do an epidural, but I never prepared. I went to, like, the classes that the hospital offered, like, four or five of them, and never prepared. And I feel when I read, this is why I remembered this statistic about Prentice Women's Hospital being high for epidurals, is when I was 3 centimeters, they didn't offer, I was like, I really want the epidural, I changed my mind, I want the epidural. And they said, well, we don't normally give epidurals this early, but we are doing a study on early epidurals. And I was like, sign me up, I'll sign. And so I signed up for a study. And so, like, I laugh about it now to my friends who, I, you know, when we talk about, like, yeah, I did an epidural, I'm just like, you're welcome. Because I was part of the study.
You helped out.
Gave birth. So. And, but, you know, I, as so many of us are, like, I had no idea. I didn't.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Like, when you were talking about, like, the catheter, all that stuff, I just was unprepared. I'm, you know, and maybe I would have made the same decision yesterday. I'm not sure. But right. I think that it came from a place of ignorance, of not really knowing.
Right.
Not knowing that there was an option. I feel like a lot of times people, if you choose the epidural, you've, I would hope these days, you know the option. Like, you're choosing.
I don't know. I mean, not from the hospital. I agree. You know, they're not going to.
They don't tell you those things.
Right. But I also think, I'm so curious because you're on the front lines here. But we both had babies young. I was 20 and then 23 or something. So I feel the same way. Like, because I'm older, I'm like, oh, if I had a baby now, I know my own power. I know my own strength. I know that I'm capable of incredible things. I had no clue in my 20s that I was capable of that. And so to hear a doctor who went to school for many, many years be like, oh, you can just do this, and then you don't even have to worry about it. Like, then you get a nap. As a 20-year-old, you're like, yes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if you're noticing, because you had said a lot of women are older because they've been trying for a long time. I wonder if you notice, like, is there something about the older women that have a little more wisdom about who they are, a little more awareness, that they're more open to that idea that they could do it without?
Well, I have a different range of women. I have women who are, like, in their 20s, and I have women that are in their 40s.
Okay.
I think it's pretty much everybody doesn't really know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
No one knows. I think a lot of these women just found out about what exactly happens on their period when they were trying to get pregnant.
Wow.
You're like, oh, yeah, okay, so that's why I should be, you know, when should I be trying, when I should, you know, when am I most fertile? So
talk to your daughters.
Yeah.
What
they know is what they see on TV.
Yeah.
And when they see on TV is, like, these screaming women having their babies, give me the drugs, you know. And I'm trying so hard to empower them to not just run to the drugs. I always say, go as long as you can without the drugs. And then I always say this is my explanation. This is another one that helps me get my point across. There's going to be pain no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be pain from the contractions. And you're taking the epidural to take that pain, and you're going to put it at the end. Because after the drugs are wore off, you're going to have pain from the actual epidural. You're going to have pain from that pushing because you may not have been able to feel, so you're going to rip more. You may have pain because you had a cesarean because you didn't progress. There's lots of pains because people could not progress. They use calipers. So one of my girls, or they ripped, you know, from the calipers. So I just say the contraction pain goes away. So after you give birth, yeah, it's like day and night. Like, hey, we're talking like this.
Yeah.
But basically, you're going to have pain no matter what. So why not get the pain that goes away as opposed to the pain that's just going to come back to the very end? The catheter, taking the catheter out is pain. You know, so they're going to, I mean, you're just taking the pain and just taking it to the end. Let's do the pain that goes away.
Yeah.
The contractions are not going to be there afterwards. You're going to be, like, able to stand up and go to the bathroom, take care of your baby. Otherwise, you're exhausted. You know, I'm just saying, you know, just look at that you're actually just going to take a pain and take it to back. So it's just, no matter what, you're going to have pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. Yeah. You understand? Like, it's a different type of pain.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Contractions are definitely intense, but they go away. They're not there.
I think one of the best parts, like, we kind of had an idea where this interview was going to go, and it's gone the best, like, way different, but better. Okay. Because in my head, I'm listening to you, and I think, you know, we wanted to interview you because we were like, oh, she saw a need for this prenatal fit, and then she fulfilled that need herself, and that's really awesome. And that alone is awesome. That's why we wanted to interview you. But what I hear you saying is actually, you're kind of starting a revolution, just reminding the women what they're capable of, right? And that's even more powerful. That's more sustainable because then, even after they have the baby, when the toddler is going crazy, they're like, I've done hard things. I've done hard things. I'm capable of this, you know?
I pushed the baby out. Yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, and I think that is incredible. Like, you started because you saw, oh, there's a need here. There's a need for pregnant moms to be together, and then after baby to also still be together. But you've transformed it into a culture that, you know, I mean, I think our culture at large is close to that, to realizing that, like, oh, doctors don't know my personal body, so they don't know everything, right, uniquely about me. But you're just, yeah, you're starting a little revolution. I love it. That's
my little sign.
Yeah.
Says no drugs on it.
Well, you, I think it's one thing to have passion, and it's one thing to have skill behind that passion to do it, but you also made a huge financial investment because you believe in this so, so strongly, and I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, that's very brave and very bold. So clearly, you have the passion, you have the know-how, but you also have this capacity of, like, nope, I've got to do this. So I know we sort of asked you this earlier, but, like, what do you think it is about you, or how would you advise another woman, another mama bear who has this great passion, a lot of skills, a lot of know-how, you know, how do you encourage them to kind of take that next step and really make the investment, whether it's money, whether it's time?
To find their dreams?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I definitely feel whatever makes you feel good inside your heart. You know, I know they always tell you money will follow. You follow your dreams, money will follow. And I feel like, you know, it doesn't feel right. If you go to work every day and you're feeling like this doesn't feel right for me, then start to see what makes you feel good and then invest in that. And, you know, I don't want you to stop what you're doing because I want to make sure you're okay, because I was afraid to leave the other job because I was financially really lost there, but you know, we finally started making money. But you gotta, like, find that dream. And I learned this actually, I went to one of these, like, organic conventions, and one of the things that lady said that really struck me, she said that there's someone whispering in your ear. They're telling you, you need to do this. You have that whisper and you know it's there. It's if you listen to them, and if you don't listen, they're going to whisper in someone else's ear. Hmm. So you better listen and take it and do it, you know. And I kept them. There was a whisper in my ear to do this, and I just was so afraid of failure that I didn't want to do it. And I just said, you know what? If it's failing, if I fail, it's okay. As long as I tried, and because I don't want to go down to my grave and be like, I never tried. So at least I tried. And if I tried, I failed, and at least I know I tried. So listen to the whisper, everyone out there.
Yeah.
Listen to whatever that whisper is, and then try it. And, you know, at least you tried. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if that doesn't work, try something else that makes you happy. So that's what I have to say.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's incredible wisdom, really. Because usually
the whisper is our intuition. Like, mm-hmm. you know how to do this. You have the ability to do this. So it's like, listen to that whisper, whatever it's telling you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love the idea of just, like, following it out to its natural conclusion. What if you fail? Okay, what if you fail? Then you fail.
Yeah.
End of story. That doesn't make you a failure. It doesn't make it... It just means you, that didn't work. So on to the next thing. That's great. There's great wisdom in that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the whole thing, like, how to be successful. There's all these books out there, and I remember reading those books when I started opening my gym and was worried about it. And it says, you know, always think about the most positive thing all the time. Because whatever you think most of the time is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If you think that you're going to fail, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. You got to think, I'm going to be successful. This is going to work. Mm-hmm. Keep thinking positive. You can make a little board, a dream board, and put up, you know, whatever that you want to see yourself in, like, how many years, 5 years, what do you want to be? What kind of car do you want to drive? What kind of clothes do you want to wear? You put it on that board, and you see it every day. You have your mind on it all the time. You think about it, and then supposedly it comes to you. I don't know. It's like magic.
It's working for you anyway.
I saw it. I saw this gym.
I
saw this gym in there. I put my gym up there on that board, my dream board. I saw women being happy. I saw women working out together. I did see a small model of it. I did see success in that small model. I knew that it could work. But at the same time, it was a bigger level. A lot more women. And not just me teaching. And so I always want to make sure my teachers are on board with me, what my mission is. I want everybody to be working together as a team. It's hard. It's a lot of people, different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, where can listeners find you if they want to know more about your movement or your gym?
Yeah.
Or a combination of both.
We have a website, prenatalfit.com. We also have our social page, which is Prenatal Fit Mamas of Chicago, and they can their first class is free, but I know some people are from out of town, so we're going to try to have that webcam up and have a webcam membership. But until then, I have to find the right people to do that. I've been trying. There's lots of prenatal yoga on YouTube. I want you to do something. I don't want you to be like, well, Prenatal Fit's not here, I'm not going to do anything.
Right.
So make sure you take care of yourself. And usually there's lots of women out there that you know, are kind of similar. There's probably different studios that they have something similar to our gym. Just have to look for it.
Well, Adina, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was so great. I mean, you're a first. A breastfeeding, sleeping baby.
Snoring over here.
I miss those little breastfeeding snores.
I know. Noises over there. So thank you. Thanks for spending part of your Saturday with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Today, we dare you to be bold. Adina knew there was a market for pregnant women, and she boldly went with her gut despite so many telling her it was unwise. She knew there was a chance, maybe even a good chance, that it would fail, and yet she knew she had to try. How often do we forget the boldness that lurks inside us all and give way to doubt instead? Is there a conversation that's been on your heart, but you haven't embraced the boldness long enough to bring up with someone you love? Is there a business idea or a book inside you that keeps you up at night and pulls at your daytime dreams as well? Today, we dare you to find the boldness that perhaps is not within your usual nature and do it. Big or small, it doesn't matter. Let Adina's story inspire you to overcome fear and create the community and the life you've always wanted.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, Adina was such a great example of that boldness, but just that kind of chillness, too.
Yes.
Like, she was so chill and has accomplished so much. So she really is someone I think we can all learn from. Mm-hmm. Mama Bears, thanks for listening. You can always add to the conversation or join the conversation online with your own experiences. I'd love to hear some more birth stories. We kind of got into yours, Tessie, and mine
and
a little
yours.
Bit.
If you've had an early epidural, go ahead and hashtag thanks, Leslie.
Go ahead and leave a comment and thank me. You're welcome for that. I was a brave participant in that study all those years ago.
No, we love to hear from our listeners. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. Look at the website. Send us an email. We love the conversations that we have here. We thank you for listening and for following along.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. We have a great mini set for you for Wednesday, do we not, Leslie? You've been working hard on this.
It's in progress right now. It's I'm trying to cut it down from the 2 hours that I'm pretty sure it's at right now. So come back on Wednesday,
you guys. Leslie and I, the last two times we've recorded a podcast, have been in the same clothes despite it being almost a week apart. So let's just hope that we've changed by Wednesday. We'll see. We'll update you. Who knows? Have a great week, you guys.